Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Let's get the show started. Here are Marco Coleman and Culpepper.
Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show after the Jaguars lose it 34-18 today in dreary Buffalo. Let's start it off. I think I have a feeling where you're going on this one. Marco's money player today.
It's only one way to go, and that's with 84. My man Cecil Shorts, man. He's been playing out. So this has been a really good season for him, and I really do hope that he can recover quickly, because if he doesn't, I don't know where they're going to get the offense from.
Getting reports, I see a tweet from Ryan O'Callaghan of the Times Union saying that Shorts laughing in the locker room and not allowed to speak, part of the concussion protocol. Jeff said that Shorts had just precaution. So hopefully good news there, because you're right. Without Cecil Shorts, this Jaguars offense does not have a chance to have any kind of zip. Didn't have a lot of zip today outside of Shorts, but they need him to be in there in order to have some zip and try to show something.
That's for sure, especially with Rashard going out also with, you don't know how his situation will be. We haven't been updated much on his head injury. You know, if he goes out too now, you know, you got Parmalee's injured. But I'd say I thought in training camp that Montel was going to get more opportunities to carry the ball during the course of the season once Maurice was out. I was surprised once the season started that Montel wasn't getting the ball more. And, you know, I think he's the most powerful runner aside from MJD that they have.
Yeah, and runs with a lot of force behind that. You know, it's not just running with power. It's when he hits it hard.
Yeah, he's always ending up forward. He doesn't get knocked back. I mean, I saw that in training camp. I was impressed. He was the most impressive running back out of all of them in the training camp. You know, I guess he's so valuable on the special teams. You know, hey. But, hey, the special teams unit has been struggling, that coverage team specifically.
Yep, yeah, no doubt about it. All right, this portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show brought to you by the Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. Let's give you an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Those three names you just mentioned, Rashad Jennings, Cecil Shorts, and then also Aaron Ross was the other one who left the ball game with a leg injury. But Jennings and Shorts with, when you hear it reported as a head, that means it's concussion symptoms, concern about concussion, what have you. And so those two guys being looked at, and we'll see how it goes from here. What it'd be interesting to see as well if Maurice Jones-Drew comes back next week after that, or at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a question that still remains to be seen. He was there in Buffalo. You saw him on the sideline sitting on the warming bench. And so we'll see. We've seen improvement. He comes through the locker room. For a while he had the push cart. Then he had the crutches. Then he just had the boot. So he's getting less and less that he has to utilize. So we'll see how that all goes. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Your calls when we come back. 800-355-NFL1. 355-6351. This is the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here, 800-355-NFL1. You can also tweet to me at Culpepper if you like. Try Sonny's Chicken and Ribs, only $10.99. You get a heap and helping of barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread, all for only $10.99. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. Marco, what do you say we get some of these calls?
Let's get some.
All right, here we go. Let's start it out with Drew in Mayport, who's up first here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Drew, how you doing?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys. I definitely think that we are where we need to be. We played a team that's on the brink of the playoffs and, possible playoffs, and we're not a playoff team yet. But the final thing is this. I think that the Cecil Shorts hit wasn't dirty on purpose, but under the letter of the law and the NFL, the guy should be fined. And also, I think the missing part to the Jaguars is we need Marco Coleman in some capacity. No doubt about it.
He's on the radio to tell them what they need, man, I tell you, I agree with you as far as with Buffalo. I mean, me and Cole even made the comment he differed, from me. But I thought that the Buffalo Bills aren't as bad as a team that people
mediocre
may think.
Best.
But they got some players. They have some play. They have more players, playmakers, ability to make more plays than what the Jaguars
do. I agree, but I think they're a mediocre at best team. And right. I mean, I just
their record is mediocre also.
They got Mario Williams, you know, Jarius Byrd always seems to be around the ball in the defensive backfield. Stevie Johnson, when he keeps his trap shut, seems to, and maybe when he doesn't, seems to make some plays. The guy, the real playmaker on that offense is CJ Spiller. Yeah, and they did a decent job against Spiller today, mm-hmm. but you know, not good enough. Fred Jackson, when he's on, is really on. Same thing for Fitzpatrick. I mean, it's a streaky team offensively, aside from Spiller.
A lot of teams don't want to see him. You know, especially if you're looking to try to make a playoff run. You know, if they come in, they got to. You're a little bit more worried about the Buffalo Bills right now than you are the Jacksonville.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. All right, let's go to John on the West Side, who's up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. John, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hey, I like to talk about this mental toughness. I haven't seen really that mental toughness that helps produce the physical toughness that most teams need. Even though that the team is a little bit better, still, mental toughness can win games for you. It seems like when the Jaguars are in bad weather situations or when they're down going into the third and fourth quarter, this mental toughness, and I believe your co-partner talked about this invisible shield in the locker room. I think this is what needs to be inspired in the locker room. Maintain your mental toughness and produce the physical toughness that this team needs to beat other teams out here, man. Right, and that's my feeling on it.
You know, this is the first time on the road we've seen the Jaguars have that kind of issue. We've seen some of those issues at home with not handling adversity very well. This will be a question that has to be asked. I don't know the answer to it, but did they not handle success well? I mean, again, two games playing well and one win shouldn't get yourself overinflated.
That's for sure, especially when you're 1-9.
Right, but maybe because of that, getting to 2-9, did you – it's tough to sense that through the television all the way, mm-hmm. From Buffalo. But what about this point about mental toughness?
Well, that goes to the point, like I said, just having a presence in the locker room or someone on the team that just can, I guess, translate a certain aura or attitude when you play. You know, every time you come out, a consistency to perform well. You know, like I said, you hear Mercedes; he says a lot of the good things. You know, not getting too high when they do well and not getting too low. You do have to be even keeled, but you do have to have a certain attitude. And one of the things is, having a lot of success gives you that type of confidence. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of people in the locker room right now as veterans that have had a lot of success. You know, you got the veterans are Mercedes. You know, he's doing the best he can. He's working hard, I'm pretty sure. You got Rasheen. He's not participating. You got Maurice Jones-Drew. He's disgruntled because he didn't get his money. He's not playing. Daryl Smith is not doing anything. And so you don't have
Greg Jones.
And even these guys, that's not their I know these guys personally, great people, but they're not the type of people that really move the locker room. You know what I mean? They need another. They're not the out front guys, I would say.
You need lead by example guys, but you also need the lead vocal, be out there. A guy like Paul Posluszny does everything right.
Mm-hmm.
Goes about his business, is dedicated to it. It's the most important thing in his week is taking care of what his thing is. I mean, a great example, he had a penalty last week. It's the fifth accepted penalty against him in his career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you the guy's disciplined and be in the right place and, he does that. I agree with you, though. I mean, and part of it comes from being a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you need to have a guy, in order to lead in the NFL, you've mentioned this. You can't
just be running your mouth. You got to do something.
You got to do something out there.
Yeah.
So that makes it more difficult to develop those guys as well. And again, I go back to this. You want the older players, the guys who are between their fourth and eighth years, kind of being those key guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Jaguars' first round picks from years 5, 6, 7, 8, those guys are not around.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They blew those. That 2009 draft class. We've talked about some of the players in that draft class, like.
Britton and Terrence Knighton.
Terrence Knighton, Cox,
Monroe.
Monroe and Jennings, right?
Yeah.
Of those, only one of them right now is really playing where you'd want him to play.
And that's Monroe.
Yeah, and you're not. So you can't expect a 22-year-old rookie to come out there and be a leader, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it happens occasionally, but usually that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's a established veteran who plays well, does the right thing. And that's the problem. I mean, this is this is the lingering effect of not having those guys who are in the between their, again, fourth and eighth years in the NFL. You look at the teams around the NFL that win consistently, that's the sweet spot, is years four through eight, of having those guys usually in their second contracts, and guys who have and the team has invested in because they've seen how they're doing. That those are the teams that are doing well.
And those are the guys who are more so, you know, when the younger guys, that the head coach now has a lot to do with it. I mean, there's a lot of instability when those guys got drafted. You had, you know, right in between Del Rio, and, you know, so these guys have never really, they don't have, the foundation is not really there for them to build on also. You know, they're the most impressionable as to being the identity of the coach.
But, you know, people use the example, well, why did San Francisco have success when Harbaugh came in his first year? Well, look at the guys who were making the plays. Those were the guys between those fourth and eighth years, largely. Guys like Vernon Davis, right, who are making these big plays. Frank Gore's been around a long time. But, you know, those core guys, Patrick Willis, those are the guys who are making the big plays. It's not the guys who are first or second-year guys. I mean, you get some performance there. But the guys who have been there and have been the stalwarts, those are the guys who are your leaders. That's where you're most likely to find the guys who are going to lead the way for your football team. And the Jaguars don't have many of those guys. And the guys that they do have haven't been, you know, haven't won.
It's ultimately about talent. You know, to be completely blunt and clear, you have to have some talent. You know, the talent level is very, very, it's a small difference between someone being good and bad and then being great. There is a bigger difference because you figure everyone's going to the combine running fast. Everybody's jumping high. So you're going to have some great athletes. But now, when it's time, you got to have a really good eye of being able to see who's going to be talented against other superior athletes. Because you can be good against college. You know, you see Heisman Trophy winners all the time come into the league and they falter. You know, but can you see those? And a lot of times it's not guys at the SEC. It's guys at Northern Illinois or wherever, some of these small colleges.
Mount Union, right?
Mount Union, exactly. Because Cecil Shorts right now, this guy that he was killing, you know what I mean?
Who was
a rookie this year.
Who everybody thought the Jaguars might go after.
LSU.
North Carolina State. Stephen Gilmore.
Number 33.
Oh, yeah, right.
He was from LSU.
And Stephen Gilmore from North Carolina State.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, so now, you know, it's not about where you're from. You know, it's about what can you determine what makes this guy tick? You know what I mean? And those are the things. Like I said, I played with Brian Cox. You know, he was from a smaller school in Illinois, you know, but he was one of the toughest guys out there. He wasn't the fastest, strongest guy, but it was something inside of him that you can't measure. But you have to
be a little nuts too.
But this is football. If you don't have some guys that are nuts on your team, I mean, you can't have a bunch of stable guys in the locker room. And right now, to be honest with you, I think the Jaguars have the most, I don't know how to put it. I mean, the best guys I can think of that I've ever been around also. I think they're great people. Great people. Too stable.
He wants some instability.
You got to
have
it, man. That's the sport.
Yeah. You just can't have you can't have the inmates running the asylum.
You got to have a balance.
Right.
You got to have a balance. You know what I mean? You got to have somebody to stand on the ledge and somebody to be there to be able to talk them off of it.
All right. Get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during truck month at your local Southern Ford dealers. The Jaguars Rewards Program, now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. Want to take a question off of Twitter here. Lance is tweeting to me. I felt like Henny did a good job considering he got little help. What do you think?
Well, now, this goes right back to what I was saying about Mr. Blaine Gabbert. Everyone, Henny. Hey, man, the same thing that occurred for Henny today was what's been occurring for Mr. Gabbert all this time. Gabbert, you know, just like Henny threw some bad throws, Gabbert has thrown some bad throws. He's hit the wide receivers right in their hands, and they dropped the ball. Same thing has happened to Henny. So, and the offensive line didn't help him out. So, you know, when you talk about it's going to be a quarterback battle, I don't think you can say that Henny should be the guy or Gabbert right now. You got to just wait till 2013 and let these guys compete for this thing.
We counted five drops, and these are not just balls that a guy could have caught. These are balls we think they should have caught.
Right.
Not a guy knocks the ball out of there.
You were nice to him. I wanted to go. I saw about three more.
All right. Well, so but let's just say five absolute drops.
For sure.
No doubt the guy should have caught it. If all those are catches, then Henny today is 23 of 41 instead of 18 of 41. Still not great numbers, but better. But that wouldn't have changed the outcome of the ballgame. This ballgame was won and lost in the trenches on both sides.
And we said that going in. It was going to be about the offensive and defensive lines when you got the poor weather games, which is always about that, but especially in these climates. Who can run the ball the best in this type of weather? And 232 yards to Buffalo showed who was able to get it done.
Got another one. Kevin says this all happened because Cole Pepper made a Milli Vanilli reference during the pregame show.
You know, well, all these guys running around look like Milli Vanilli with hair hanging out of their helmets.
I should have just lip-synced it. All right, this portion of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show brought to you by Isoborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. Back to take more of your calls, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Where do you think the quarterback situation stands right now? We know it's going to be handy the rest of the way because Gabbert's on the IR, but did today change your idea of what things are going to be like in the offseason? More to come on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. You could be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. Coming up, we'll give you the carry of the day. Let's do that right now. Mark, are you ready for this? The carry of the day presented by Waste Pro USA. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you.
Well, unfortunately, it happened when Rashard was actually knocked out of the game. Mm-hmm. But that 12-yard carry was the most eventful carry of the day for those guys.
Which was telling, and you look at the numbers overall in terms of the running game, 232 yards given up, 50 yards run for, and even in this day and age in the National Football League of throwing the football, if you're getting those kind of lopsided numbers, it's a pretty good indication.
You figure, and he ran for 12 on that play out of the 50.
Yeah, so not so good. All right, let's get back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Paul, who is at Bowles, up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing as good as I can be under the circumstances, right?
Well, hey, you know, Bowles is going to play for a state championship. You got that going for you.
You got Corky Rogers. You got Georgia Tech's finest coach, man. What's happening?
I had a question on Chad Henne here. Now, I'm wondering if it's even fair to judge what he's done to this point and what he may do in the future without him having the benefit of having Maurice Jones-Drew in the lineup, because as great of a running back as he is carrying the football, I think he's also, and this may be the most underrated aspect that he offers, is his blitz pickup and his pass protection is right up there at the top too for running back. And, you know, to give Henne that extra time, I mean, Gabbert's had it, you know, so we've seen what he is. I guess my question is it really fair to pass judgment on Henne without seeing him have the full complement of, you know, the offense of having a top five player in the NFL?
Well, the facts are these. I don't think there's any way. I mean, again, you talk about making a decision. You don't have to make the decision now because you're going to go with Henne the rest of the season. And then I said this when Gabbert went on the IR. I'm sticking with it. I think you're looking at an open quarterback competition between those two when the when training camp begins next year. That's my expectation right now.
Well, how many games has MJD been out? I mean, Gabbert had to play a while without MJD this season too.
Yep. And he's had him some, and he's had him some too.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, you can't listen. You have to judge them based on who they're playing with. That's got to be part of the equation. You're not going to have an equal number of games with Maurice, games without, games with Cecil, games without, or whatever it is. You've got to work that in. That's all part of this. That's why scouting is so difficult, and it's as much art as it is science to try to gauge who's really a better player, this guy or that guy. Because even with guys on the same team, sometimes it's more difficult to tell because you say, all right, well, what are some of the other factors? There's all these other human factors into it, and it makes it, you know, that's why it's an inexact science.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, appreciate the call. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Saqib. Saqib is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
What's up, guys?
You got it, man. How you feeling?
You know, all I can do is just, like, shake my head every week. I understand I call you guys up pretty much all the time, and I say half of the same stuff to you guys. But to me, I never play football, okay? I'm just a fan, okay? But I don't understand, why are these guys not playing for their jobs, for their careers? I don't understand how you can put up so good a game one week and just look so inefficient the next week. I'm not understanding. It's mind-boggling that these guys don't want to play for their... Because a lot of them aren't going to be here next year. And why are they not fighting for their jobs?
I don't think it's a matter. I didn't see a lot of guys not trying out there. I haven't seen trying. sometimes they're not good enough. Sometimes the other guy is better than you are that you're faced up against. I don't think it's a matter of guys not trying.
Marco, let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're the GM of Jacksonville Jaguars right now.
Yep.
Okay. And what do you do? I mean, do you just say, you know what, this guy's gone, and just start just from the scratch? Or, I mean, what do we do? How long is it going to take to rebuild this team? I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of every year we say the same thing. The Jaguars are 5 wins. Jaguars are 7 wins. The Jaguars are 4. It's been a long time since we've been in the playoffs. Give us something. The Jaguars need to give us something to be happy about here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing that I'm pretty sure that I would say Gene is doing right now is just evaluating these guys. You know, this is an evaluation period, you know, as to what they're doing. And next season, you know, my suggestion, not sure exactly what Gene's thoughts are on these things or, you know, with the personnel guys, I just think that the team needs to have some new faces in the locker room. They've done a lot of things that's changed. You got a new owner. You got a new way that they come out in the during the course of the game. I really think it's a time to change, a real big change. And I'm saying bringing in veterans that are coming from winning organizations. I'm not talking about bringing anybody that's coming from Kansas City, perennial losers.
And you're not necessarily talking about, you know, the high dollar superstar. You're talking about
I'm gonna give you a perfect example of what happened. I was played for Philadelphia in 2003, and we had went to the NFC Championship game, lost to Carolina. All right, the following season I play in Denver. Okay, I'm stretching. I'm talking, you know, on several occasions I'll say this. Mike Shanahan actually would ask me about some things that we did, not necessarily schematically, just, you know, what did y'all do in training camp? Mm-hmm. What did y'all do when you practice on Thursdays? What we did in Philadelphia. So now what that was, okay, this guy has just played with a team that just was a game away from the Super Bowl, you know, with a coach that's been, you know, had his team in that position for the past 3 or 4 years. What are they doing to get themselves there? So when you get a locker room full of guys with that type of experience that are preparing that way, have that type of attitude, that expect that, now you're going to get that. You know what I mean? You'll get more of that.
You know, it's funny. It's something that I remember Fred Taylor mentioned after his time in New England. He said, you know, I thought that when I was going about getting ready for games and the team was people were really serious about it, they were really preparing mm-hmm. and so forth. Then we went to New England, it was a whole different thing. They used to talk about the 49er way. This is back in the mm-hmm. Joe Montana and Steve Young era. The 49er way. Remember this?
Right.
There was a certain way. And I think it's about expectations, but I think it's also about structure and some other things, you know, how that goes. There's no one perfect way to do it.
Right.
But you do notice that guys who win everywhere they go, even if they're just role players or, you know, not superstars, you know, maybe play on special teams and backup, guys who do that, you can find those guys and bringing it. Now, it doesn't always work, and I'll give you an example. It's going back a ways. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs went under Marty Schottenheimer, had been very good. Mm-hmm. It was about the time you're probably talking about, maybe right about the time you came into the league. And they went out and signed some guys who had been successful, traded for and signed. Tim McDonald.
Yeah, Montana.
Montana, obviously. Mark Collins had been signed mm-hmm. a little bit earlier, who had been with the Giants. And so wanting to do exactly what you're talking about, bring in guys who could help set the expectation among the players. Mm-hmm. Coaches can set the expectation. Position coaches can set expectations. But when a player sets an expectation, doesn't it have a different impact?
It does. It's even the accountability changes. You figure it's a guy I'm sitting with in the locker room, and we're going out there. He sees me practicing every day. He sees me doing in the meeting room, you know, paying attention. You know, that's a little bit different. I mean, the coach can say something and, you know, and have him say, you know, you should do this, do that, and the other. But he's not putting on the shoulder pads and helmet. It's the guy that's next to you that's going through the exact same thing that you're going through that you have a different type of alliance with, you know, as far as the way you feel about making sure he's okay with what I'm doing, being accountable to the guy next to you. And if you have a guy in your locker room that matters, that the guy next to me is cares about what I'm doing, that's how you foster a winning team, which I don't think that's a problem with the Jaguars. I think right now, you know, really it's a talent level thing also. I mean, you watch them with the defensive line. Mm-hmm. You know, certain teams that they're playing against, they're just getting overmatched. They just can't beat these guys. You know what I mean? It's not that they're not working, but they just can't beat them. So it's a combination now of the talent and the mind state, I think that will make a big difference.
All right, Saqib, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase is necessary. This is going to be an interesting week for sure. Jets coming into town. Greg McElroy. We're just looking at some highlights here. McElroy, the former Alabama Crimson Tide quarterback, came in and led the Jets to their only scoring drive and a victory today against, well, talk about bad quarterback play in general in this game between the Jets and the Cardinals. But Sanchez finally gets benched, and it's not Tim Tebow, who was inactive today. It was McElroy who was put into the ball game. So the Jets coming here next week, who knows who's going to be. It could be any one of the three. Could be a quarterback, ostensibly. I would think after a win, you're probably going to see McElroy in there. Very bright guy, by the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
I mean, if you're playing under Saban, you know, as a quarterback, you're going to be ready to play in the league, I think.
Mentally, really.
Yes, mentally, yes.
All right, 800-355-NFL1. Let's get Ben on the north side, who's in here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Ben, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Ben.
What's on your mind?
Okay. I just want to respond to the Gabbard and Henny, where we go from here coming into next year.
Yeah.
And I hear you guys say it a lot, and also hear the guys on Jaguars.com say it a lot. And I just don't feel like there's going to be an open competition going into next year. I think this is Henny's audition to either win the job, or the Jags are going to look to go in a different direction. And it's going to be up to Gabbard in the offseason to actually win the opportunity back versus being in contention for it. He's going to have to basically open their eyes to put him back in the competition. That's my thought on that.
Well, here's one of the reasons why I think it's going to be, and you say open competition, somebody's going to start ahead of the other guy. It's not going to be an even-footed. I mean, that's always the way. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, in the preseason this year, Henny was told, hey, if it's even, we're going with Gabbard. And it wasn't even. Gabbard outplayed Henny in the preseason. But you look at the quarterbacks who are going to be available. Again, I don't think that any of the quarterbacks in the first round of the draft are the kind of player you pick and you bring them right in and he starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may be guys who can develop, but a guy like Geno Smith from West Virginia playing in a totally different non-NFL style offense, he's going to have to adapt and play in it, you know, learn to play in the NFL because that kind of offense doesn't work in the NFL. You're not going to run it. You can mix in a play or two here, but it can't be your offensive style. You know, quarterback will get killed. So you've got that. You've got maybe a guy like Alex Smith or Matt Castle or somebody who might be available.
Mm-hmm.
But do you feel any better about one of those guys coming in fresh and being the guy? I mean, I don't think either one of those guys are a franchise quarterback.
Right.
So unless you're going to be able to get a franchise quarterback in here, I think you go with these two guys and see. You know, see who can win it out. And I think having competition between those two quarterbacks is going to be good. I mean, you've talked about it, Marco.
Yeah, it's going to bring the best out of somebody.
But somebody's going to get pushed, and somebody's got to show what they can do.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, this is all conjecture, mm-hmm. and we won't know till the offseason. But and we'll know. We'll have a better feel for it, certainly, by the time the season comes to an end, based on how Henny has played in the meantime. So we'll see how it plays out.
And we might not know also, you know, who's going to emerge in the off season from the college ranks as well. You know, once we start doing the draft analysis and pro days and all these different things, I would just hate for the Jaguars not to at least, if Henny doesn't solidify the spot as he is a man going forward, I would hate for them to go into the off season at least not looking, you know, to
no, I think they'll look
great that position.
I think they'll look. I just don't think they're going to find anything out there. I mean, again, I watch a pretty fair amount of college football, and when I do, I usually watch it, you know, kind of looking at how is this guy going to translate into the NFL. And sometimes you have to watch it, you know, to see how it how a guy matches up against the top teams. Mm-hmm. Aaron Murray was a guy I was interested to see how he would play against Alabama because, you know, I think he's intriguing. Now, he's a junior, mm-hmm. the redshirt junior, you know, could come back for another year. But if he doesn't, he's not a guy who's ready to play in the National Football League right now. I mean, again, you see him against the Saban defense. He played okay, not great.
That's about as close as you're going to get to what it looks like.
That's
for the
a
NFL.
Test, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of test as I used when we were talking about Tebow as a senior. And you look at him against a Monty Kiffin defense in Tennessee. Look at him against Saban's Alabama teams. All right, well, that's a pretty good test. That's a better litmus test than you're going to get against Vanderbilt or somebody else. and you see how it plays out.
Right.
You can really see a guy's flaws. A lot of times, you mentioned, Marco, in college, guys' flaws don't show up because he's just a better athlete.
Yeah, I mean, what you have to recognize, once you get into the NFL, it doesn't matter where you play. You know, I played at Georgia Tech, and I went against the SEC offensive tackles, your Pac-10, your Big Ten, and it didn't matter. The guys that were the toughest were the guys at colleges that you never even heard of, because now they come with a certain type of edge. You know,
something to prove.
Yeah, I think that, like Shorts, I think he got a chip on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. The way last season went, you know, playing for Mount Union, I got to show everybody out here that when I came out of high school, that didn't want me to come to Ohio State, didn't want me to come to, you know, to Florida, I had to stay at Mount Union to show you that I'm better than those, or just as good as those guys can play. And you can see that a lot.
That being said, you can also find plenty of talent in the SEC.
You can find it, man. But again, you get
Not guaranteed that a guy from the SEC is going to be.
It doesn't matter. Like I said, that when you all of a sudden go on to the next level and you get all the best athletes, you know, across the country. Matter of fact, the world, because you're not limited once you get into the NFL as to where you're going to bring a player from. Now, all of a sudden, you just being in a little smart, that's not a big deal anymore. It doesn't. Nobody's scared of you anymore. You can't just say, oh, I'm in the SAC, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm, woo. Right. No, that doesn't matter. Matter of fact, that entices me to want to whip your butt even more. How about that?
All right, Ben, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Sip more, pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea. Now just a dollar at McDonald's. Any day, any size, anytime, McDonald's. I'm loving it. We'll take time out. More calls and tweets when we come back. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper if you're on Twitter. Back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Keith in Arlington, who's up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Keith, how you doing?
Keith.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, what if the Jags split? I can't remember the last time the Jags split. I mean, if they don't have the personnel, at least, you know, try. I mean, it's like the long pass. It's like the long bomb. It didn't, you know, they were afraid to try it. Well, they tried it. Worked a couple times, and Why didn't they even try to blitz?
Well, I know they did blitz last week because Mike Harris got a corner blitz, got a sack. Mm-hmm. Today, though, you didn't have many opportunities because Buffalo only threw the ball 17 times.
Yeah, they had a lot. They ran the ball a lot, but they did a lot. They did a few of the zone blitzes where you see the defensive lineman maybe drop and replace a linebacker in coverage. But like you said, these guys were able to run the ball effectively so much that it really wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, it just what would be a good? I mean, if there's no good quarterbacks right now, I mean, Kansas City won, and my sympathies go to the Kansas City team, obviously. But if there's no quarterback in the number one or number two spot, what player, what franchise player, like an offensive line tackle or pass rusher or?
Yeah, they're all here's. Yeah, what's going to be there is your question. Right as it stands right now, and by the way, quarterbacks always rise. So if somebody falls in love with Geno Smith, you know he could rise up there somewhere. To me, he doesn't look like a top 10 quarterback, but you know we'll see. The what you're going to see a lot of in that top five or six spots, a lot of
defensive,
you know, undersized pass rushers. And outside linebackers and small defensive ends.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a lot of those kind of guys who would fit in a 3-4 who are going to be available there. There's also a very good crop of guards this year, which doesn't really, you know, usually you probably shouldn't draft a guard in the first round unless you're getting, you know, you better be getting a stud in the first round. And then also, of course, you have Manti Te'o from Notre Dame, the linebacker who's going to be somewhere there in the top 10. I don't think there's a wide receiver that's probably going to be a top tenner, which I don't think the Jaguars really be interested in. And I don't know if there's going to be a lot of defensive players. Let me just put it that way in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I think the draft is going to be important, but I think the emphasis should be on the free agents. I mean, I don't think that this, you know, the immediate impact of being able to win tomorrow is going to happen with the draft. I mean, I really think it's going to be paying some guys coming from really good places to come in and make a difference. I think that's what's going to happen. What need to happen.
Well, I mean, whoever's going to replace Gene Smith, I mean, how are they going to bring those people in? I mean, if I was them, I'd probably just go with, call all their agents and say, look, whatever another team offers, we'll add $1 million to it. I mean, they've got the cap. I mean, what do they got to do just to bring the free agents in?
Well, listen, Marco, you can speak to this. What talks the loudest in free agency?
Money, money, money.
Yeah, so there you go. Last year, the Jaguars were not particularly aggressive in free agency. I expect they will be more aggressive this year, this time around. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Keith, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. Eric is in Orange Park. Eric, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard, Joe.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why, it seems like everyone in Jacksonville wants to put the blame on Chad Henne or Blaine Gabbert while we're having so many problems. Why isn't the blame going to the guy that it needs to be? Gene Smith has not done anything to bring talent in anywhere and has severely screwed our trench game up completely. We're horrible on the offensive line. We're horrible on the defensive line. But yet people are expecting our quarterback to play outstanding.
All right, well, let me take both of those points. First, you don't think that people are criticizing Gene Smith, huh?
I don't hear enough criticism of Gene Smith, no. It seems like we just ignore the fact that year after year after year, he just brings in sub-talent players. He overdrafts people like Eugene Monroe, Tyson Alulu. They're good players, but they're not top 10 caliber players. We haven't brought in that home run guy in. Maurice Jones-Drew was our last good draft pick, and that's before Gene Smith got in charge.
All right, well, I would just disagree with you that people aren't criticizing Gene Smith, but, take that for what it's worth. Your other point about, what the Jaguars have, and now I've kind of lost my train of thought there, but, about the trenches. You've got to win in the trenches. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. You've got to be able to win in the trenches. 2 weeks ago, the Jaguars played a Texans team. Offensive line played a terrific game. And you feel, okay,
yeah. Look,
they got that. Last week, the blitzes were a problem. This week, they didn't open up the holes in the run game. I mean, they did a decent job in terms of pass protection today. It wasn't great, but there was they gave up 4 sacks. A couple of those, I think, were on the quarterback. Coverage sacks kind of thing. On the defensive side, last week you had to be pretty pleased with the defensive against the run game. They basically shut down Chris Johnson. Didn't get to the mm-hmm. haven't gotten to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Today they do a decent job again against Spiller in terms of the total yards. But you look at the yards per carry, 5.5 yards per carry, which is under his season average, by the way. They give up 100 yards to Fred Jackson. They're getting pushed back. Mm-hmm. They don't have that consistent performance. And so I don't think you can make this blanket statement because this is what's kind of frustrating about this team. When they lose, it's not always the same thing every week. They've had games they've lost. They lost that game against the Texans, and they played pretty well in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we'll play outstanding at a position 1 week, and then the next week we come out, and it's like a completely different group we're putting out there.
Yeah.
And it seems like everyone wants to bring in a quarterback or bring in this. It's like, I don't hear a lot of people talking about bringing in a right tackle because we really don't have a good one. We don't have any. I mean, Nwari hasn't really proven himself.
Eric, let's be honest. Eric, let's be honest. Nobody gets jazzed to talk about a right tackle. I mean, that's not going to be something they're going to do. And again, the rest of this year, to me, again, today, Cam Bradfield playing up against Mario Williams. That's the ultimate litmus test, isn't it? I mean, I want to see more of that so you know where you are in the offseason. I am always a guy who is for the premium positions. Left tackle, pass rusher, cornerback, quarterback, right? Those are the 4 premium positions in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Secondary positions are things like defensive tackle, right tackle, safety, playmaking safety, that sort of thing. And so anytime you can improve yourself in those positions, I think you do it.
It's improvement's needed. I'm in
the area.
All right. Thanks for the call, Eric. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's take time out. We'll come back with some final thoughts on this one. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We'll be back. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper if you like. Back to wrap it up and take a little look ahead to the Jets. This is the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, interesting next week. If at the beginning of the year I would have said there will be a national championship-winning SEC quarterback who will be starting for the Jets when they come to town to play the Jaguars, you might not have thought it was going to be Greg McElroy, but it might be. The former Crimson Tide quarterback led the Jets to a victory. Boy, there's never a dull moment with that team, is there?
And you know what? And they're not out of the playoff hunt. That's so
crazy.
Peculiar.
That's what. Yeah, the AFC is just not very good this year, is it? Going to be interesting next week. 1 o'clock start, and we of course will have coverage beginning at 10 o'clock with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Marco, put a wrap on this one for me. If I were having you bet Linda Fortunato's money, is this what we'll expect to see the rest of the year, or are we expecting to see more like what we saw last week for the rest of the year?
Well, you know, we're going to see what we've been seeing all season: inconsistency. You're going to see a team play at home, I think, better than they did away this week. But now, does that translate into a win? You know, only the game will tell us that. But I don't see them playing as bad, because they do have the tendency to play better after a very poor performance. But like you said before, different areas end up being an issue. This time it was the defensive line not being able to stop the run. You know, hopefully they'll be able to stop the, get to the quarterback. You know, you just don't know what it'll be. But hopefully it's better.
Should be better weather than they had in Buffalo today. We got that going for us here in Jacksonville.
We got a great chance of that happening.
Yep. All right, next week, 1 o'clock for kickoff, 10 o'clock for the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Tomorrow night, the Mike Mularkey Show at 6 o'clock. Brian Sexton will have the head coach. Tuesday night, 6 until 7, John Osher joins me for Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. And then Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna Live at Latitude 30, Wednesday, with Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, John Osher, Tony Baselli, the whole star-studded cast, as we get you ready for the Jets coming to town. Next, the last home game of the season, and should be a big crowd on hand. Might be the biggest crowd of the year so far, as the Jaguars take on the New York Jets. For Marco Coleman, for Linda Fortunato, for Ed Rocco, Cole Pepper saying the final score one final time. Buffalo 34, Jaguars 18. Thanks for listening to the Jaguars Radio Network, and good night from Jaguar Central.